Mental health can be a difficult topic to discuss, and for U.S. Muslim communities, it's rarely talked about. But mental health professionals are trying to change that, working alongside faith leaders and activists to bring compassion to such conversations. For more on this, we're joined on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline now by Dr. Rania Awad, clinical associate professor in the Stanford Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Sciences, and researcher and director of the Stanford Muslims and Mental Health Lab. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. Tell us a little bit about the Muslim community when it comes to talking about mental health and even suicide.
Sure. Thank you so much for having me here. And absolutely, mental health is just definitely does not discriminate. And it's in every community, definitely a sense that needs to be really dealt with, including the topic of suicide, which is often very stigmatized and difficult to talk about. And these last several years have definitely been, have had a number of stressors for the Muslim community, as with other faith communities and other marginalized communities as well, whether it be COVID or really in the Muslim community's case, you know, definitely of Islamophobia and hate attacks and crimes. And so there's definitely been an uptick of mental health needs. And so our work is really focused on ensuring that the conversation around mental health enters into the community in an authentic manner in which we're really able to bridge the most scientific and up-to-date information along with the religious and faith background of this community.
So tell us about your work.
Definitely. The Stanford Muslim Mental Health and Islamic Psychology Lab at Stanford University is one of a kind. It's the academic home for the study of this topic. There are, you know, dozens of lines of research focused on all different types of mental health with the Muslim community. And the suicide line prevention line is one of the main lines that we're working on currently to make sure that we have our religious leaders attuned to the mental health needs, particularly the topic of suicide, because our research also shows that after friends and family, when folks are in crisis in the Muslim community, they'll come to faith leaders first. And that's why we're focusing on this population. Our work is also partnered with a nonprofit organization, a community arm here in the Bay Area called Maristan, maristan.org, that then trains these community leaders and also other leaders on the very custom-tailored needs of the Muslim communities.
And so given the work that you do, what do these communities need on the ground? If somebody's not involved with your lab, what can people in the community be doing?
Well, in the community, definitely a lot of reference points. I always say that, you know, friends and family are first. And so really normalizing the discussion around mental health and around seeking out care and therapy, and also on proper referrals. So the need of really talking about culturally attuned and even kind of religiously informed care, particularly for members of faith communities, is really important. And on the ground, what would be really important is for people to start normalizing this conversation, to be able to refer to places like Maristan when they need more culturally attuned and custom-tailored work for the Muslim population. I would also say that because this is a mental health gap, a real crisis of needs, it's really important to put resources towards the education and also the bringing about of the clinical work that's going to be focused on Muslim communities and other marginalized communities as well.
Would local or even state policies help get this work done?
100%, because the focus often when we talk about mental health is not specific to you know, communities of color or communities of faith that are sometimes marginalized and not, that their customs and their culture isn't always at the forefront. And there's often also an institutional mistrust that happens. So I'll give an example of, in recent years, there's been a Muslim ban, for example, and there were many stressors. There's a very terrible Islamophobic hate crime that happened just last month where an entire Muslim family was run down and killed and murdered. And so when you think about the stressors that happen and the institutional mistrust that's on top of it, there's many people out there suffering alone and in silence. And therefore, we reach the very end of the line, which is psychiatrists, we often see suicide as being the very end of that line. But if there was, you know, appropriate intervention ahead of time, community resources, and certainly policy that was in place, and kind of really focused on helping the most vulnerable and the most marginalized of our community, there would be and we would see a change.